In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God." Must have been an incredible experience to have God come and walk with them in the cool of the day. It had to be some kind of a special arrangement. It had to be some kind of a special circumstance. For one thing, we understand that Adam and Eve were perfect in the image of God. Sin had yet to come into the world. And they had a wonderful experience walking with God. There was something that was extra special that was soon lost. If you haven't read the story, if you're unfamiliar with the story, I would encourage you to go back into the book of Genesis and read at least the first three chapters slowly and pay attention to what is taking place in this relationship between God and man, where God came and he walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with them. You get over just a few more verses into the 23rd verse, it says, "The Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden." Man was removed. And when I say man, I'm referring to the creation of humanity. Adam and Eve both were removed. They were banished from the Garden of Eden. That banishment was more than just being removed from this special location. It was more than just being taken out of their home and placed into an environment that was all brand new to them. This was a special change that had taken place, and it wasn't a good special. But it was a very adverse special. Perhaps one of the biggest things, the most glaring of the changes that was taking place was that they were no longer able to have that experience of walking with God. God did not come and talk with them and walk with them as he had once done. The presence of the divine was lost. The Creator God, his presence, it was lost, it was changed. And you read down through the rest of the Old Testament passages and even into the New Testament, you'll understand as you read those in that record of the Bible that God never again dwelt with men or people quite in the same way. Ever. To the Israelite people, God dwelt in his Shekinah, and I've always been intrigued by that word Shekinah. I'd like to understand it deeper and even experience it in some way. The Shekinah glory, the Shekinah presence, it was something special. That Shekinah glory and the presence of God sometimes was hid in a fire. Sometimes it was hid in a cloud as they journeyed out of Egypt. They were to experience the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud. And in that, where there was the Shekinah, and then there were times that the presence of God would rest. It would settle on the tabernacle. It would settle into the area of the mercy seat. And there was a visible thing that was there to make them and to cause them to realize that it was God's presence. But never again did they walk with God as Adam and Eve did. A.W. Tozer said that occasionally he would appear in what theologians call theophany, an appearance of the deity. And what that means is that there is a visible, something that is visible but not necessarily material manifestation of deity to a human, to a person. Such as when God came to talk to Abraham in the doorway of the tent. There was a brief experience there where Abraham had a conversation with God. There was some kind of a manifestation, but it was not the same as what Adam and Eve experienced. And then when we get into to where Gideon lived, and Gideon out on the threshing floor had an experience with a divine being, with a manifestation of the presence of God in that sense. But God didn't linger with them. He didn't walk with them. His appearance was cautious and veiled, is what I'm told. Even when God showed himself to Moses, you know, out there on the backside of the desert, and Moses had been somewhat exiled for 40 years, and he wasn't able to be with his family. He was in a complete new land, and out of nowhere, he finds this bush that is burning, and he makes his approach only to realize that there was a divine presence manifested in that fire. Or the time that Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock, and God's presence walked by him, and God shielded his eyes from his frontward presence, and he was only able to experience or to see God's presence as he moved on past. Again, Tozer would say, the eyes of fallen sinful men were no longer able to endure the radiant majesty and glory of deity. Well, that was a sad time when you go back into Genesis chapter number 3 and you realize how God came and heard, they heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden with them in the presence of the divine. But then before the chapter closes, they're banished from that presence. There's a change that takes place. One thing that you can always count on, though, is in the fullness of time. You see, God never runs late. God never runs on a delay. He is working out his purpose, and he is always on time. Even when Lazarus is now days dead and he's in the tomb, and it seems as though, Lord, if you would have been here, but God always comes in the fullness of time. We could get lost in that when we talk about the crucifixion, because it's there very meaningful and real as well, that in the fullness of time, or at the precise moment that was necessary, Jesus died. But we get way ahead of ourselves when we talk about the crucifixion, when we're coming into the Advent season and the focus on the coming of Christ. For in the fullness of time, Jesus came again to men, to people. John records it in his first chapter in verse number 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. They were to call his name Emmanuel because it means God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Again, Tozer said, he appeared to dwell with men. He appeared to be united to men. He came to ultimately dwell in men forever. So it is with men and to men and in men that he came to dwell. Did you get that? Adam and Eve were separated, banished from the presence of God. God no longer dwelled and walked with people as he had with Adam and Eve. There was a change, a separation. We only saw and perceived in manifestations of his presence, but never could we see God in any way. And then, in the fullness of time, the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. He appeared for the purpose of dwelling with us. He appeared for the purpose of being united with men. He came to ultimately dwell in men forever. And so Tozer sums it up by saying, it is with men and to men and in men that he came to dwell. God was revealed in him. Jesus has shown to us what God is like. And in the presence of Christ, we have a revelation of God. We see God. We experience God. He comes to dwell in us. Something was lost. But that something has been renewed in the presence, the coming of the Christ child. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. I'm glad that he came. He was made sin for me. Grace. Praise God. Looking forward to this evening's service. Smith sharing with us. And remember to be receiving an offering for them tonight. Lord bless you on this Lord's Day. Hope you have a great day in the Lord and trusting in him, his presence today. Praise God. James, would you dismiss us in prayer?